better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
We've been hot and heavy with phone calls and text messages this week for obvious reasons, be it the Cherokee Casino Hotline. And I know this individual has been trying to get through all week long, but we have been unable to get to him until now. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Craig is in Deer. What's going on, Craig?
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are y'all?
We're doing great, man. How about yourself?
Got a little bit of a cold, but I'm happy to be me. Life's good, man.
That's good to hear.
Hey, I don't know if anybody's explored this angle, but my boy played college ball, and I know that tug. But here's Chad Morris was the death penalty for Arkansas. It's that bad, in my opinion. I mean, he was. He was like Butch Jones, or was the death penalty for Tennessee. He was the death penalty. But here's what was going on this year as just an observer. He had a son. He wants that boy to play ball. There's no way K.J. Jefferson, anybody's going to get a chance to shine, because when his kid came in, he had to get his kid on the field. Gus Malzahn happened to have that kid rated high on his pecking order, so why do you think Chad is now the O.C. at Auburn? You really think that clown can lead Auburn's offense? And so they wanted Chad's boy. That's why Chad's there. And everybody, what's going on with the quarterback at Arkansas? What's going on with the quarterback at Arkansas? Well, Chad he's blown that position up because he thinks he's got another year in the bank. So when his kid gets here, he can get him on the field. If KJ had shined like you know he can, there's no way. You follow the conflict that was going to ensue. He's wanting his boy on the field. He's got a quarterback that might be better. So the whole thing got imploded over that. And nobody seems to be talking about that. The dude was flying home on weekends to watch his kid play ball. He was obsessed with his son. And I get that. My boy played baseball at Penn State. I don't care what his scholarship was. I spent way more money flying to go watch him play baseball than he ever made on scholarship. But the point is that's what was going on, in my opinion. The whole thing got jerry-rigged to try to get Chandler Morris, I think his name was, on the field next year. And Chad didn't have enough money in the bank to hang on another year to get him here. So that's just my little 2 cents worth. But this death penalty thing, this guy was a clown from day one. I knew he was a clown from day one. And Bo, whatever that guy that they went up and did their podcast deal, they were all laughing at Jeremy Pruitt being an idiot. And I'll admit, I wouldn't have hired him based on his command of the English language. However, just because Morris, that carpetbagger, had a great pitch, they thought he was going to be the greatest coach ever, and his whole career was based on one thing: get my son on the field. Yeah. And watch what happens in Auburn.
Can you be a carpetbagger Can you be a carpetbagger and be from Texas?
Well, you know what? Yes, you can.
I'm just checking.
You have to check your lineage out, you know. it's Shag Carpet.
Shag Carpet.
Remember, it's Shag Carpet.
Or Chad Carpet.
Chad
Carpet.
That's what Arkansas got. I mean, literally, it's this thing's going to – I believe Pittman's a good hire, but my gosh, man. This program's in horrible shape right now.
I hear what you're talking – listen, Craig, I hear what you're saying, and I don't think everything you're saying is that far-fetched, but what we're doing here is we're on our first date with a really good-looking woman – and we're talking about her ex-wife.
Well, you know what? That is I'll agree, the best strategy when riding a dead horse is to dismount.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
You know,
so at least a moderately decent looking woman sitting across the table from us here at the Outback with a blooming onion between us, and we're talking about our ex-wife. So we probably just need to move on in the conversation.
I'll agree. It might be because the last one drove me to the liquor store. I'm trying to get that out of my system, so I don't know.
But now that's fair.
Y'all have a good day.
I hear what you're saying.
Y'all have a good one.
Hey, you appreciate too, Craig. Bye. appreciate it, Craig. And I agree with what you're saying, Tommy, about that. And I want to just real quick add to the conspiracy theory of Craig. Yeah, get the music going. This is something that I've talked with some friends about too, and I know that's been mentioned. I think that from the very get-go, Chad Morris was sent in as a plant of Gus Malzahn to fail at Arkansas. Because, you know, if you remember...
And now he's getting his reward by being on staff at Auburn.
Yes, and getting his son to come to Auburn. Because when they wanted Malzahn bad, they wanted Malzahn bad, he said no. But let me make a recommendation, which this is true. He recommended Chad Morris. He suggested Chad Morris. And as a divisional opponent and a foe, I would probably want all the other schools to fail as miserably as they possibly could to boost myself up. So Gus Malzahn, knowing Chad Morris, said, okay, man, just go in there, make your money, do awful, and then I'll make sure you get rewarded at the end. You won't last very long, but that's okay. We'll get you back. And that's exactly what he did. He sent Chad Morris in. He failed miserably on purpose. You saw the results. It almost ended Arkansas. They have to climb out of this ditch big time, and now he is reaping the rewards of being his offensive coordinator. His son's going to go to Auburn, and now Chad Morris is going to flip that switch and actually get it going as an offensive coordinator there. How's that for a conspiracy?
Again, she's not bad looking. She's sitting right across the table from you. And all you're doing is talking about your ex-wife.
Well, can't this be like a therapy session a little bit here on the Morning Rush? You know, you got to talk about all the issues and all that your past and what you've gone through.
Any minute now, one of her friends is going to call with some emergency. You know, she's looking at her phone. Any minute now, this date's going to be over. So, and see how this is going.
Yeah. Well, which we found out that your ideal date would be at the Outback with a Bloomin' Onion.
Well, that shows you how long.
Hey, what's wrong with a Bloomin' Onion?
Hey, nothing's wrong with a Bloomin' Onion.
Is that what's the deal with Mrs. Kraft? Is that what sealed the deal?
I'm still trying to seal the deal. Still working on that.
Yeah. The only thing that's wrong with the Bloomin' Onion is the calorie count. That thing, it's got like 1,500 calories, but it's amazing.
God, it's romantic, half of it. Isn't it?
Yeah, it's so romantic. Yeah. So romantic. But no, that's what I learned in that whole thing. That's Tommy's ideal day right there. Oh. Nothing wrong with the Bloomin' Onion. Nothing wrong about
steakhouse.
That's
a pretty good analogy, boys. I thought I brought my A game on that one.
Here y'all are making notes, Tommy.
Yeah, again, I'm not hating on it because I love some Bloomin' Onion. I love some Outback Steakhouse. So that was fantastic. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Danny's in Russellville. What's going on, Danny?
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
You know, let's just close the book on Chad Morris.
That's what I'm saying, you know.
Let's move on. He was a good recruiter, but he obviously surrounded himself with bad coaches. And I have faith, Hunter, here, Chuck, that he is going to get the right guy. You know, he did with the basketball team. It's these assistant coaches are critical because we know Pittman can recruit, and we've got some good players up there. We're not as bad as our record. You know, they say, you are what your record is. But really, I mean, can we be that bad losing to San Jose State? No, we're not that bad. We're just dysfunctional. And I trust Pittman to get the right coaches in here. And he's a little behind the eight ball on recruiting. But guess what? That's the way it is. That we'll just make the best of it.
That's right.
I feel like this is probably rock bottom, right?
Well, we've been saying that.
I would say that you're starting to at least crawl out of rock bottom, because rock bottom to me was the second after the Western Kentucky game ended, because you still we all knew that he was going to get fired, I think, at that point, but you just didn't know when, and you were the laughing stock. Everyone was laughing at you across the nation like the eighth time since Chad Morris had taken over. So I think that you're starting to at least get out of it. It started with the firing of Chad Morris. You're no longer at rock bottom because you're at least doing the change. Now you got you a coach that Razorback fans are excited about. Seems like he's really working hard here in the early going. So you're crawling out of the bottom, but that was definitely the bottom over the past few weeks.
I'm sure that Morris will do good at Auburn. They got great talent. I'm not worried about what he does over there. Or Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. I'm worried about Arkansas.
That's right.
That's, you know, we're in the toughest division in the toughest conference in America, and it's tough. So we're going to have to get tough, and we got the right guy to do it. And thanks, Tech McCall, and have a good day.
Hey, always appreciate it, Danny. You know, and I agree with you. This is about Arkansas right now, and they got enough things on their plate that they got to worry about before worrying about any other team in their own division. But, you know, it's just amazing that how just a change, a simple change in coaching can inspire a lot more hope and excitement because, listen, I know that we've had people call in and people text in that have had concerns about Sam Pittman, and that's what we've discussed a little bit today. We will throughout the show is just as far as your legitimate concerns about Sam Pittman, which I think there are legitimate concerns. But you can just see from the small things, like the fact that Sam Pittman made it very clear he wants to be here. And I know that gets talked about a lot, but Arkansas hasn't had a coach like that in quite some time. I mean, did you ever get the feeling that this was Brett Bielema's, he wanted this to be his last job. This is the best place he wanted to be. Maybe there for a bit.
Yeah, but Bielema was in his 40s when he was hired at Arkansas. Sam Pittman's 58 years old. He, you know, makes sense that this would be his last crowning achievement here, the crown jewel of his football coaching career.
Right. But did you ever get the feeling that Bielema was going to be an Arkansas guy? He was going to become an Arkansas guy? He was all about the Arkansas? I never got that vibe.
I thought he was trying real hard.
Well, maybe. I just never got that vibe. I know Chad Morris for sure wasn't.
I mean, he tried like hell to drink all the vodka on Dixon Street.
Yes, he did.
I mean, he tried to be one of us.
Because that's what we do here in Arkansas.
Tried to drink all the bourbon down there.
Yeah, get those white Russians over there. Yeah, we tried to. You know, I guess at the end he's having to do it in Boston now. But either way, it's just that's the one thing that I know about Sam Pittman is that the guy wants to be here. He's excited about it. And I can tell you that just from the Razorback fans' reactions, when he got up there and he started getting choked up, again, not talking about his wife, not talking about the journey he's been on, talking about Arkansas. Oh. That resonates a lot with Razorback fans.
Hey, this time of the year is hectic. Lots of things to do, places to go, and Southern Tire Mart can get you there and get you there safe and save you money on America's most trusted tire brands like Michelin and BF Goodrich. Take advantage of Southern Tire Mart's $29.95 oil change, which includes a thorough 27-point vehicle inspection. Go see Southern Tire Mart, I-540 exit 14 in the River Valley, with quality Michelin and BF Goodrich tires and the best in-class service. Michelin, BF Goodrich, and Southern Tire Mart.
We have a text in from Todd in Fort Smith. He says, have we already talked about potential OCs and DC prospects? Oh, yeah. We did yesterday. I don't think anything's changed. You know, I know that, of course, Barry Odom's the hot and heavy name for the defensive coordinator position. And we had, I guess it was Tom on yesterday that was talking a few about possible offensive coordinator. That Chip Long connection's always an interesting one. Not saying that there's any direct connection or sort of friendship there. But
the connection between Pittman and Long is the one that I haven't connected that dot yet. Have you?
No, there's not. Because there's not really a true connection.
Chip Long was at Arkansas when Petrino was here as a GA. He went to Memphis. He's been around. It's kind of in the Norvell tree, so to speak, I guess. He's not really I don't know where the Sam Pittman cross would be. That's why I don't know. Mm. It's interesting news. Chip Long's got an Arkansas tie. We will see.
Still think that the Jay Johnson angle. He's the offensive coordinator up at Colorado. He was pretty much the assistant offensive coordinator there at Georgia when Sam Pittman was there. That seems maybe more likely.
Still wouldn't rule out Jim Chaney.
Oh, I know. It's almost like I just don't want Jim Chaney, so I don't want to talk about Jim Chaney.
Again, no like trust goes a long ways.
I know. But can you really think of any great offenses that they've had when they were together?
Man, that dude coached Drew Brees. What more do you want?
Well, Chad Morris coached Deshaun Watson, and what did that get you? You know, Taj Boyd, what did that get you? So,
I'm not saying it's going to be Jim Chaney. I'm just saying don't discount that.
Yeah. Oh, I know, and I'm not discounting it. Again, I'm just kind of being hopeful for something different. I like a little mix. I want a little change.
I don't think Chaney's bad.
No. I think you can do a lot worse than Chaney.
Yeah.
No doubt. I mean, you've had worse than Chaney.
Yep.
I'm just saying that for the sake of variety, I feel like we've seen the Chaney-Pittman combination already. Not saying it was awful, but
here's the thing. I think if Chaney and Bielema would have found a way to coexist and Bielema would have got his ego out of the way, things would have worked well. Pittman would have stayed. Chaney would have stayed another year or two. Who knows what would have been possible at that point. Chaney's departure led to Pittman's departure, which led to the whole unraveling of this, the whole Bielema era.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, Enos was a fine OC. Now, problem was Enos and Pittman didn't philosophically agree on blocking schemes.
That's right.
So that's where it all came apart.
Mm. In fact, Enos was really the only hire that Bielema made where I feel like he replaced who he had originally hired with someone as good or better.
But the problem was square peg round hole with your O-line coach. Who
can't have that.
In the end, O-line coach more important than offensive coordinator, as it turned out, mm-hmm. in hindsight.
Yeah. And the guy you replaced Sam Pittman with was not, it wasn't even like he was just average. Like, no, he was the other end of the spectrum when it came to offensive line coaches with Kurt Anderson. So, yeah, it was just bad all around. So, well, I don't know. Yeah, Jim Chaney's still going to be in the mix. But, again, I'm kind of like most Razorback fans, just hoping to see something different. All right, I always get a little uneasy when we have this, but we'll see how it goes. We have the Silver Surfer who's on the phone lines. Yeah, what's going on, the Silver Surfer?
Good morning, fellas. How are you today?
Oh, we're doing pretty good, Silver Surfer. How about you?
Good. Tommy, I'm going to agree 100% with you. It's time to kick the ex-wives out the door and let's get to talking about the new girlfriend.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't care. You know, it matters very little as to what all kind of conspiracies and everything else is going to come down the rack. I'm going to tell you something as an Arkansas fan that I'm excited about right now. For 3 years, I've refused to even go to a game and buy a ticket. And right now, I'm ready to buy a ticket and go to a game next year. I'm a private individual who owns his own business, and so it's expensive for me to buy season tickets. But I'm kind of excited about what we've got with Pittman, what he can lead to. I was excited about a couple of the other guys, but I was speculative. And right now, I've got a lot better feeling about the way Pittman can lead this thing. You know, I got a couple questions that I'd like to hear from coaches to call in from you and kids if they're out there listening. Again, it's time to kick the ex-wife out. Let's find out where we're going. What's the, you know, I already get a feeling that we're going to have a positive recruiting session out of Arkansas for Arkansas kids. We've been letting too many of these people go. We're hearing their names on TV on other teams. Come on. And the second thing is, what do the coaches and the kids think about this? You know, I absolutely despise Jeff Long for everything he was worth. That was one of the reasons I quit going to the games, even with Bielema. It was a bad situation all the way from the very beginning. And here we go. We've got, you know, we've got people that want to care about and are thinking about the Razorbacks for a change instead of about the almighty dollar. Look at his contract. That's just a telling point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we heard it all when Chad Morris come in, that he was going to, you know, he had these meetings all over the state with the coaches and the kids, and then he didn't put any of them on the team. He let the best ones go. What happened to that? And I'm kind of anxious to see whether or not Pittman's going to actually get out there and have these, see what his rapport is with the coaches and the kids, and then see where we're going to go. But you know what? I hate to say it. We may be on our 34th marriage, but I think I like this one a lot better. And Tommy, you're right. Kick the old thing to the curb and let's get on to the new one.
34th marriage, but the third wife had 8 personalities, so that counts for there you go.
Appreciate the phone call, Silver Surfer. Yeah. Hey, I was skeptical, but that was a good call by the Silver Surfer.
Solid. I think that's Silver Surfer's first time to ring up the program.
Hopefully he's a first-time caller, long-time listener,
right?
You know, like the old adage
goes.
Don't
be a last-time caller.
That's right. That's right. But,
you're,
you know,
welcome back.
Here in this industry, though, when someone calls in with a nickname you've never heard,
it makes us a little uneasy.
Yeah, a little button trigger happy there. So, it was a good call.
Good call there.
Very solid. Yeah, so.
Hey, holidays just around the corner, and if you're thinking about smoked meats for your Christmas gathering, or maybe you're trying to do a last-minute catering for your office or family get-together, Art's Barbecue can take care of everything for you. Call Wade at 479-452-2550. If it's a fried turkey you want for this year's family gathering, boom, they can do it. They'll even take care of getting the turkey and doing all that. All you got to do is make a phone call. They'll take care of that. If you want to do like a prime rib or a beef tenderloin, or you want to do a pork loin or something, you know, that's not ham or turkey, they can do that. So all the traditional favorites they do. If you want to do something that's a little bit different or unique, they can do that as well. They do a lot of prime ribs and beef tenderloins at Christmas as well. Plus a lot of great side options. Of course, their traditional stuff with the baked beans, the potato salad. They got a mac and cheese on the menu now. They can do just about anything you need for your menu. Art's Barbecue, 479-452-2550. Call Wade. They'll get your menu set and get you ready for the holidays with Art's Barbecue and burgers.
Squeezing in another phone call here on the Cherokee Casino Hotline. JR is in Marshall. What's going on, JR?
Hey, guys, how y'all doing this morning?
Good, man. How about you?
Doing good. Doing good. What's the window for Boyd to make up his mind on what he's wanting to do? Is there a cutoff date for him to decide whether or not he's going to forego and go pro? Or
January. It's usually around the 15th, but John's feverishly typing into the Google machine here. And then okay. There's a point where
another question.
Depending on if you haven't hired an agent, you can pull back out. So,
okay. The other question I got: what's as far as scholarships go? I mean, has anybody looked and seen what's going to be available as far as Cam Curl? Does that free up the scholarship with him leaving out? Or
oh yeah, that's, with him foregoing it. That's him. That opens up a scholarship, and also January 14th is the deadline.
And that's been because that's been a complaint. JR is particularly by Nick Saban, who's not going to be in the title game this year. Is the players that play in the college football playoff and particularly the title game, which is on the 13th, have no time to really contemplate this following that game. Title game on the 13th, deadline, John, you said it's the 14th. That's something I think they need to look at, honestly. Best players are generally on the best team, playing in the biggest game. You get one day, that doesn't seem to. That doesn't feel right, does it? So that's something that they need to look at. There's also another day they pull their name back out without hiring an agent, too.
Oh, by the way, sorry.
So there's not going to be – is there some attrition that's going to take place, do we think, on the roster? Or what do you think is going to happen on that part? I mean, is the team –
yeah. So, and by the way, sorry, they can start 14th. January 20th is when is actually the deadline.
Opens on the 14th, ends on the 20th. All right.
Yeah, so I had to –
so it's the 20th.
Yeah, I had to recheck that. I think that there will be. I think that there will be some of the changes, some of the movement there on the roster.
And one thing Arkansas is going to have to be careful, and I don't know what the numbers are exactly, but they've had so much roster turnover, that APR number, that rolling four-year average is going – you kind of wonder what the math works out to. And is Arkansas going to have some problems there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've got to be careful about
– appreciate it, JR.
About forcing turnover. Because you get a point for retention and a player leaving eligible, and eligibility and retention are big things there. Mm-hmm. So you need to retain those points when it comes to your APR. So Arkansas has given up some stuff lately.
Yeah, and so far they really haven't had a whole mass of transfers just yet. I think a lot of the players are waiting to see assistant coaches and all that, which is a good thing, knock on wood, that they're not going to get to that point. But still, we'll have to wait and see exactly what some of these players are going to decide to do.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs!
We'll get back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline here in just a second. I wanted to bring this up, though, real quick. I know you don't want to talk about your ex-wife, and you don't want to talk about Chad Morris. You don't want to talk about all that stuff anymore, and I get it. But it was an interesting tweet yesterday that Mike Irwin put out of KNWA and the Pick Trail Nation. I don't know if you saw it, Tommy. But this is the type of stuff that comes out anytime a coach leaves or there's some sort of change or turnover. These are the types of things that kind of gets leaked out now that people don't feel the pressures of having to not say anything. But Mike Irwin tweeted out yesterday that he says, from a coach familiar with Arkansas's workouts the past 2 years, the offense mostly just ran plays over and over and over again with very little time spent on actual coaching. Quarterbacks in particular exhibited poor fundamentals with very little correction. They would just run plays over and over and over again, learn the offense, and that's really the only main goal.
I think Clay said this about a month ago here on the show. So, I mean, Mike tweeted that. I think this is, Clay was talking about this same topic and basically saying the same thing Mike had just said, and you relayed it, was talking with some people that have access to practice, former coaches. And the concern was you were trying to run at such a tempo to get so many plays in, to install offense, to learn offense and learn plays. There was no coaching going on. So when improper technique or just missing an assignment or something wrong was happening on a play, no one was correcting it. And we all thought, and we all missed it because we didn't know, when they were running two fields and on two ends of two fields and four groups at the beginning of the year. Oh, this is great. All these players getting all these reps and experience, and coaches were bebopping back and forth to all these groups. Problem was, there was no coaching going on, and no one was correcting mistakes. You're just trying to go at rapid speed to run plays. Mm-hmm. And no one was stopping. All right, stop right there. Your technique here on, you know, whoever it was. You know, pick a, you know, Colton Jackson. I know he's gone from football, but yeah, you know, just use his name. Your footwork there, or your where your hands were placed on the defender need to be here. Or Rakeem Boyd, we need you to move over 6 inches when you're hitting the hole and do this and then read the block and then go, you know, those type of things weren't happening. And then, all right, run it again. Just run the next play.
So you're telling me that they kept running plays over and over and over again, repetitiveness, which, you know, I believe. Yet you still only had 60% of the offense installed for 2 years. For 2 years, you just did nothing but run plays over and over and over again, and it still was only 60% installed. Come on.
Again.
Like, and I now that you mentioned, I do remember Clay when he was bringing it up as well. And it's not surprising. It's just one of those things that, you know, it goes back to, this is not me getting on my pedestal, but this also goes back to if there was more access to practices to be able to watch some of this stuff. I'm not saying that we would have been able to point out, wait, this is not going to work.
The media would not have picked up on this.
No, but so it's at least
more
something.
More media in practice would not have fixed this, John.
And I'm not saying it would have fixed it, but at least would have had the message that maybe these are some of the things that are going on in practices of why they're not being able to have any sort of success. Because there was no question that they were losing these games in practice.
No, like, I agree with that.
They were not ready. They were never prepared. It was, you could just tell that it was the practice or lack thereof that was killing this team.
You had lack of experience on the offensive coaching staff. Lack of, you know, who was the veteran, the grizzled veteran on the offensive side?
Chad Moore's pretty much.
You know, Barry Lunny would be the closest thing you would have, right? And I don't think anybody was listening to Lunny or really anybody else. They were just doing what they wanted. Craddock and Morris were just doing what they wanted. Be damned with the consequences. And this was the result.
Mm-hmm. And you could tell that there was no coaching going on.
This was part of Morris just not really knowing what he was doing as a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And he should have known better as an offensive coordinator to try. You've got to do coaching, particularly in August. Coaching has to happen. I'm not saying there was zero coaching going on, but when you're just trying to, hey, let's machine gun through as many plays as we can get through here, somebody's got to correct the errors.
Yeah.
And I think the thought was, well, we'll correct them on film in the meeting room. Well, that's not quite the same as correcting them on the field. And, all right, run it again, and let's see if we can get it right. How many times you played football? I played junior high before I went into radio. But I can tell you, there were many times we'd run the same play 25 times till you, boys, we're going to run it till we get it right.
Yep. Heard that a few times.
31 trap. We're going to run it till we get it right. And we did, till 11 guys could get it right. You know, even the simplest of plays. And that's, it's all about repetition.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're just running through plays trying to install an offense, nobody has repetition enough. So,
But that's also, you know, you're talking about junior high and high school level. Like, yeah, that's what they do.
Talking
but you can't do
30
that.
Years ago.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking about what I did 30 years ago at an extremely low level.
Yeah.
You know,
because you just can't do it that way. And here's the thing that I wondered when I saw this and I was thinking more about it. Do you think that when he was at Clemson, this is all they did? This is how they did it at Clemson?
Did you not pay attention? I think they tried something here because they were trying to get depth built up on that offensive line. I think the idea and the intent was good. We don't have any linemen. We got to get linemen reps in practice. How are we going to do it? Well, we're going to run four groups on two ends of two fields. That's how we're going to do it. Oh, sounds like a good idea. Not realizing we can only do this for so long till we have to start correcting stuff.
I guess so, because my whole thing is that I'm ever a coach, if I was ever in a position like Chad Morris was when he was at Clemson, obviously Clemson's had a lot of success, tried to mimic that as best as I could. And then when you go to SMU, was it the same thing there too? Again, he didn't have the high level success, had success nonetheless. But was it just nothing but repetition over and over in practice?
Mm-hmm.
Was that it? Is that all they did? And then when he gets to Arkansas, it just fails so miserably. Those are just the things that just makes me wonder. Did when he got to Arkansas as a head coach, which obviously is a lot different than being the head coach at SMU or the coordinator at Clemson, or even when he was at Tulsa, any of his other previous stops, it's a lot different. But in all of his knowledge and in all of his experience and seeing and being a part of programs that have been successful, did he not take what they did to be successful and try to install it into what Arkansas was?
John, he coached Deshaun Watson.
Well, by God. Like, that's my whole point is, you know, you keep saying you coach these players, you coach that. Okay, that's fine. But did you not learn anything from those programs that were able to pull it off? That were able to have an actual decent program being run by a coach?
Listen, here's the thing. They tried something new that had not been tried before, and in the end, it led to part of your failure.
And that's my whole point, is why would you try something new?
That's the point of this conversation is, well, because you didn't have enough linemen last year to get through the season, and they didn't because you don't have enough experience, and now you had at least enough linemen to practice. Let's get these linemen caught up. Let's try to build some depth. Let's try to get this offense in the minds of all of these players.
So what, is that the way they did it in year one too?
No.
So what was the reason in year one?
The reason they didn't do it?
No, I understand what you're saying is like as far as way, we don't have the offensive linemen, we don't have the depth, we got to get as many reps as we can. I get that. But why year one was it such an epic failure then? Because they had a lot more depth on offensive line.
Ran out of players year one. Remember they couldn't even practice. They had like 8 scholarship linemen.
I guess my whole point is that
year two, this past August, they had numbers where they could practice, so they were trying to get as many players as they could practice reps so they could see and evaluate as many players as they could via on the field and on film.
I guess my whole question is
they didn't realize the byproduct of it was nobody was getting coached.
I guess my whole question was in both years you had the same level or lack thereof success. So it's like, if it didn't work year one, why would you do it in year two? Well,
the key is Sam Pittman won't be doing that.
No.
You know.
No, he won't. But it's just a matter of understanding, you know, because that's the one thing that I think that a lot of people have to do when it comes to these programs and these changes. You have to understand where you're coming from. You have to understand what you went through, what it was. And since there was never any sort of indication through practices what was going on, Chad Morrison, his press conferences, never, ever revealed anything that was going on.
Here's all I got to say about it. Do you think Gus Malzahn's going to allow that practice schedule? Hey, we're going to go on 4 ends of the field, and we're just going to go as fast as we can, and we're not going to correct mistakes?
No.
Okay, there you go.
No. I just find it fascinating how, and coaches that go through, again, and have so much experience at different places, you know, if they see something work at one place, I try to install it at one another place. But obviously, at the end of the day, they go 4-20 in 2 years. It's an epic failure of epic proportion.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to move on from it. It's something
sound
that,
like you have.
Well, I'm just, again, I just find it interesting in trying to understand what it was all going on. Mm-hmm. And so that way we know where we're at right now.
And don't ever do it again.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly right.
Yeah. Hey, 2019 Buick Encore, the lowest price ever, just $16,999 at Harry Robinson Buick GMC, where you always get more for your trade. These are the lowest prices ever during the end of year sales event going on right now. The Buick Encore, the hottest selling Buick model in the market. You get a 4-year, 50,000-mile bumper-to-bumper warranty and a 6-year, 70,000-mile powertrain warranty, and it's only $16,999. Harry Robinson Buick GMC, where you always get more for your trade. Exit 11 off of I-540 in Fort Smith.
Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Rod is on I-40. What's going on, Rod?
Good morning, guys. I come today not to praise Chad Morris, but to bury him deeply. And to Auburn, better you than me. I tell you, I think that hiring the right coordinators is key, but it could be Barry Odom. It could be Chaney, but they've got to complement each other. They can't be at odds like the last two guys we had there, and I won't even start with my exes because they both look better than Morse, and they definitely look better than Brett Bielema. Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see these two guys be able to actually work together. Can Sam Pittman get that cohesion going between our defense and our offense where they actually, you know, kind of blend together a little bit on their styles?
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Well, and here's the thing, Rod, and as always, we appreciate the phone call, man. It's one of the things Sam Pittman said, and if you watch that video that they put up on the official Razorbacks Twitter account of him talking to the players, I think he made a very important statement, among many, but a very important statement of saying, essentially, not verbatim, but essentially, you're going to see a lot of me. I'm going to be around you. I'm going to communicate with you. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be visible, and I'm going to talk to you. And to me, I know that they talk about that with coaches and how important it is to make sure the coaches are on the same page, which I agree. But I think it's also very important to make sure that the players are seeing you, the head coach. Even though he's an offensive line guy, I'm sure the linebackers want to see Coach Sam Pittman. The secondary wants to see Sam Pittman. The kickers want to see Sam Pittman. They want to interact with Sam Pittman. They want to hear from Sam Pittman. They want the head coach to come over there when they're working on their drills and whatnot, talk with them, motivate them, encourage them, give them some coaching, whatever it is. That goes a long way. And I think that was another element that's been missing for a while, is just the coach wasn't visible. Head coach was not visible. And I think that Sam Pittman finds value in that because, as he said in his recruiting, I'm going to get to know you. I'm going to annoy you. I am going to be there in your face so much that it's going to be tough to tell me no, because you're going to get to know me. I'm going to get to know you, and it's going to hurt your feelings to tell me no. That's his whole recruiting pitch. And I think it'll be the same way with him as a head coach with his current roster and the guys that he continues to recruit. And there's a lot more players, and I'm sure it's going to be a lot more difficult for him. But he is going to go, and he is going to do his best to make sure that every one of those players sees him, knows him, feels comfortable with him, feels motivated by him, and feels like that he actually cares about them. And that goes a long way. So I don't see any reason why Sam Pittman can't be that, can't have that. And I don't see any reason why the rest of the players on the roster don't have an issue or don't take any issues, end up being completely and totally fine with that, where they become better players. It just makes sense to me. So I get that you want to have everybody on the same page, but you also want to be visible as a head coach. You got a lot of players to deal with, but you got to be visible. So,
fair? Okay. That's the key, is the visibility of it and the connection. That's where Sam Pittman builds the connection. Those players for Chad Morris did not want to go to war for him.
No.
They did not feel an obligation to lay it on the line for their head coach. I think Sam Pittman will have a whole different attitude with his players about, you know, we all have the old cliche of they'll run through a brick wall for him. Those guys were going to throw bricks at Chad Morris.
Yes.
I mean, that just for whatever reason, he never got them to trust him. And it starts with trust. And you can't build trust with, name me one person in your life, name me one person you trust that you don't like.
My barber. I'm joking, but no, I get what you're saying, though.
You know?
Yeah. No, you're totally agree.
It starts with getting people to like you and getting them to personally want to have a relationship with you, because it starts with like. And if they don't like you to begin with, they'll never trust you.
Yep.
Because there's no one in your life out there that you trust. The people you like is a long list. The people you trust, much smaller list. You like a lot of people that you wouldn't give your bank bag to.
No.
Hey, here's my debit card. Run down to the store. You know, no, there's not very many people you'd hand your debit card over to. A lot of people you like, though, but there's not one person in your life you trust that you don't like. Always starts with like.
Right.
That's the first thing Sam Pittman's got to do, is get all these players to personally buy into him and then trust him.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think he'll have any issue with that, given his history with his players.
That's his forte.
Yeah.
His personal relationships.
Yeah, we don't know about how the coaching and all that goes as a head coach. There's a lot of options and a lot of concerns about that. But We do know that his players will play hard for him. That's for sure. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Tom is in Red Hill.
And I thought you had a stylist, not a barber. I learned something new.
Depends on the day. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, guys. I've been hearing about all these hiring coaches, offense coaches. You guys have been tossing some names around. I'm just curious as to when it's going to happen.
Well, I think that you'll probably at least hear something next week at the latest.
Dead period begins this Monday. Weekend. I think after, you know, right now you just got to get through the dead period.
Yeah.
Or get to the dead period.
Well, I thought, some of these guys are already available, so I thought we might be hearing it already. Well, so, I'm curious as to why that hadn't happened yet.
I just don't think you have time to be dealing with hiring coaches when you got to get to seeing recruits.
Mm-hmm. And then since next week is the dead period and there will not be the recruiting element to it, I'm sure that's when you'll start seeing all the hires being made official.
All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Tom.
I think it's just a 24/7 rule. You know, Sam Pittman doesn't get more hours in his day or more days in his week.
Mm-hmm.
And you just don't have precious hours to be spending negotiating contracts with coordinators.
And let's be honest, too, if it wasn't for that early signing period, probably would make it a little easier, but the sense of urgency is on recruiting right here, right now. You got to get it done.
Yeah,
and I think that
the dead period hits Monday, and that's it.
That's right.
That's all the damage you can do in trying to help this early period.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get your staff together and go at it hard for February.
Let's get into your hog update that still has Chad Morris in it.
Arkansas football. It's the players running through the A. Hog hats. It's more than 70,000 fans calling Woo Pig Suey.
It's a great day to be a Razorback.
Guys, I've got just one thing I want to say to you. Touchdown, Arkansas!
Arkansas wins the Major Championship! The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season!
This is your Hog Update on the Morning Rush.
All right, it's time for Hog Update presented by Ozark Sportsman Supply.
You know, Christmas is just around the bend. This would be a great weekend to get to the Ozarks, do some shopping before your days are done. You know, because you got this weekend, next weekend, Christmas will be here before you know it. All the best brands, firearm brands from Benelli, Glock, Smith & Wesson, Wilson Combat, Daniel Defense, and a whole lot more. Clothing and footwear brands from Umgee, Drake, Carhartt, Columbia, boutique brands, New Balance, Twisted X, Blowfish, Ariat, and a whole lot more. And they can personalize any gift you want as well. Their new print and embroidery shop can take any shirt, jacket, or any item you want personalized, even if it's just a simple name being embroidered on there. They can do all of that for you in-house now at the Ozarks. Ozark Sportsman Supply and Ozark Outpost Casual Clothing and Footwear. Highway 412 West, barely out of Springdale and Taneytown.
So for your hog update, Justin Stepp, the wide receivers coach, looks like he is going to be returning, although it's not had a press release official. It's being reported as official that he will be the wide receivers coach under Sam Pittman. I think a good move by them, especially with the amount of recruiting that he has done and some of the talented wide receivers that they have. It's good for continuity. So good to see him coming back. Also yesterday, Brad Davis was officially announced from the University of Arkansas as being the new offensive line coach via a press release. Also, Cameron Curl has declared for the NFL draft. The defensive back is foregoing his senior year, has not hired an agent yet, so we'll see. But
is this the right move for Cameron Curl?
I mean, if you look at all of the you know, PFFs and all the people who know a lot more about scouting and all that than I do, he graded out tremendously this year. Mm-hmm. So even though people don't really
You wonder how with a defense that was so bad.
Yeah, exactly. But as far as an individual player, though,
I understand.
He looked like he was really good. So who knows? He may come back. But as of right now, he has declared for the NFL draft. Also, Daniel DePrato. I think it's DePrato.
Yep.
Yeah.
He was the assistant special teams coach here last year.
That's right.
Barry Lunny was the special teams coach, coordinator. Right. He was his assistant on special teams.
Correct. And he is joining Lonnie and Traylor at UTSA.
As the special teams coach.
Correct. So, yeah.
Upgrade for him.
Yeah, so a lot of former Razorback coaches are going to be heading down there to UTSA.
Well, there's one. I don't think there's been more than, I mean, obviously Lonnie and Traylor, but.
Well, I'm just saying all three of them are, you know, coaches at Arkansas are all going down there. So, and who knows, there may be.
I don't think they're
more.
Raiding the closet here, you know.
No, I'm not, but they are adding.
This isn't
some
like when someone leaves the prize closet open at the radio station inadvertently. You know, it's not.
We have a prize closet?
Good thing you don't know about it, yeah.
Yeah. I'd say all the prizes that we have. I need to know where that's at.
I think we're getting looted.
It's not for me. Yeah. It's not for me.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins, straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
You want to get in on the conversation here on the Morning Rush, you can call or text the Cherokee Casino Hotline at 877-377-6963. Here on this Football Friday, of course, we've been talking about Sam Pittman and just some of the updates that have been going on with him and his coaching. I know that there's going to be a few recruits coming to visit this weekend on the Hill that Sam Pittman has scheduled, and they have been going around relentlessly visiting a lot of these recruits. And, you know, again, these are the types of things that you were hoping to see out of Sam Pittman in his first week. Because we have some people that have been texting in. They're worried and concerned. I think we even had a caller about the assistant coaches and how they haven't been named. Now, at least not in majority part. We know that they have an offensive line coach and Brad Davis. We know that they have a wide receiver coach and Justin Stepp. And that's pretty much it at this point in time. We know that Steve Caldwell's been taking visits, so he may be retained. Nothing official, nothing reported just yet. But that's what it's looking like right now. And it has some people concerned. But honestly, this first week, the very first week of Sam Pittman being the head coach, needed to be 100% about recruiting. Had to be. With this early signing period that's coming up, you're always against the clock. There has to be a sense of urgency. And as far as what Sam Pittman's been able to accomplish here in the early going, it seems like he is at least getting in front of and being in contact with some big-time recruits. And Arkansas needs that help. And the fact that he has hit the ground running is exactly what Razorback fans needed to see at this point in time. So now it's going to be, can he close out the deal on some of them? I don't know. But it was also rumored that people were kind of curious of why he didn't go on Paul Finebaum, because that's something that also every coach does, and every new coach especially, they go on Finebaum. Lane Kiffin did it. Eli Drinkwitz did it. Why didn't Sam Pittman do it? Well, according to what I saw being talked about and reported, told Finebaum, nah, I'm good.
Well, Finebaum was pretty critical, sarcastic.
No, Paul?
Not complimentary of this hire.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Sam's got a lot of things to be doing right now besides making media visits. And if a guy like Paul, and listen, Paul Finebaum's got the one of the biggest footprints in the recruiting grounds you're going into right now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no question about the reach and the power of what Paul Finebaum's influence is. But he hadn't been kind to Arkansas or kind about Sam Pittman in this hire here.
No, he hasn't.
Why would Sam Pittman go out of his way to take time to try to change Paul Finebaum's opinion? Not at this point.
No point in it. And reportedly what he told Finebaum is, I'm out here recruiting. I don't have time.
Well.
So it's what you want to hear.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a Razorback fan, are you really going to be upset that he didn't go on Finebaum?
No. Listen, if Finebaum had been highly complimentary of Sam Pittman and this is a great hire and Arkansas knocked it out of the park and all of these things, would he have went on then? Maybe.
No.
I don't know. I mean, again, if a coach wants to do something, I know they're busy recruiting. A radio interview takes 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
They told us no, he doesn't have time yet, maybe next week. So we're hoping to have Sam Pittman on the show. It's just easier to tell everybody no, and that way if he appears on one program, you don't have everybody else. If he came on this show and then come on three other shows in this state, they'd all be yelling.
Mm-hmm.
Just like if he went on another show and then come on ours, we'd be yelling.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just easier to tell everybody no right now.
Yeah, and I mean, you can not go on Finebaum and everything, but he is going to come on the Morning Rush.
He should be on the Morning Rush,
so obviously
he is.
Obviously, he is choosing his shows wisely,
yep.
And this is the show to be on. So makes sense to me that he would say no to Finebaum and say yes to the Morning Rush.
Yep.
So looking forward to catching up with him at some point in time next week. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Jimmy is in Conway. What's going on, Jimmy?
Top of the morning, fellas.
Top of the morning.
Hey, do you think maybe some of these assistants are not being named because they can recruit more freely if they're not an actual signed employee of the university?
I don't know necessarily about that. I do know that there's been plenty of contact, and we know that the contract negotiations are always up in the air. And as Sam Pittman mentioned, that a few of the coaches that he's going to want to add to his staff are currently coaching right now, getting ready for bowl games and whatnot. So I don't know if that's necessarily the case, because if it was me, I would want my assistant coaches to be known to recruits, because that person could just be messing with them or lying with the recruits. You want to be as open, as honest as possible. And if they have an assistant coach already named, then they will just go ahead and say, hey, this guy's out here. We know who this guy is as being assistant coach of Arkansas.
Absolutely. And I truly believe that Chad Morris was hired solely to get his son there. What is Auburn Radio saying about the hire of Chad Morris? I would love to hear their response to this, what the people think about that.
Well, I don't.
Have you guys heard any of that?
Well, I haven't heard anything on radio, but I will say that if you just look at the when Auburn put out the official tweet saying that Chad Morris was added as the offensive coordinator, it was kind of a mixed bag of emotions in the comments of what people were saying. A lot of people think it's a great hire, and I don't think that that's because of the greatness that he was at Arkansas. I think sometimes a lot of times fans will just see, hey, he was a former head coach of an SEC school, and he has some good experience. So he must be a pretty good hire. If he was good enough to be a head coach, even though he failed, he's good enough to be here. You know, it's kind of what some people would be, and I'm not comparing the same because I think that it's very different in their coaching ability. But it'd be the same way with Barry Odom. A lot of people don't know much about what Barry Odom does, what his defensive schemes are, how he does in recruiting or anything like that. But they see, oh, he was a head coach in an SEC school. He did all right. Well, let's hire him on. It'd be a great hire. So sometimes they just don't know exactly the experience that coach may have. So there's where their excitement comes into play. But overall, I say it was a mixed emotion because let's be honest too, Gus Malzahn's going to run that offense. Gus Malzahn's going to call those plays. Chad Morris is just there, as you said, to get his son there and to help out in any way he can.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Jimmy. Appreciate the phone call. But I think that's fair to say is that
they're friends.
Yeah, well, I mean, they have been friends. They've had a relationship for a long time, and that was, again, goes back to my conspiracy. Gus Malzahn making sure that Chad Morris got the job at Arkansas just to fail miserably so he wouldn't have to worry about losing to Arkansas at any point in time. So, again, just a conspiracy nonetheless. But, yeah, the fact that he's over there now at Auburn, it makes sense for Gus. I mean, if I was Gus, I would have done something similar, I'm sure, too. And it's just amazing that a lot of these former head coaches, they get a chance. And this is where it's like I understand people hate the firing process and never want to see – someone's life change, especially when firing a head coach impacts more than just the head coach themselves and impacts assistants and equipment managers and everybody. But the thing is that these head coaches that fail always get another opportunity. I mean, if you think about it, Chad Morris was the worst hire in Razorback sports history. Might have even been the worst hire in SEC football history.
Worse than Dana Altman? Does that even count?
That doesn't even count. That doesn't even count because he didn't do enough damage to the program. But Chad Morris was the worst. And the fact that he was that bad and his next gig literally is just a month later, he becomes the offensive coordinator of a big-time SEC school.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike exactly had to really convince other people to please hire me. I promise that was not indicative of how I am as a coach. I promise. No, he ended up being okay. He's going to still get some money. He's going to get money from Arkansas. Yeah. He can get money from Auburn. He ended up being all right.
Hope they pay him a lot.
Yes, pay him as much as possible.
$2 million a year.
Easily. He's worth that, for sure.
Maybe pay him $3 million.
Yeah, just do whatever it takes. But the point is that these head coaches that even fail, they'll always get opportunities, and sometimes it's in different forms. Like Butch Jones, I mean, he's still like the intern at Alabama. You know, he still hasn't gotten another job. So opportunities just kind of come and go and are hit and miss when it comes to coaches and leaving on. And, you know, because Brett Bielema's still defensive line coach. They're always going to get opportunities to rebuild back their image is what I'm trying to say. They're always going to get the opportunities and try to make it work. My question is how many coaches that you can think of off the top of your head that failed miserably as a head coach at one place, had to go as a coordinator, D-line, whatever, a position coach after that, came back as a head coach later and did awesome. There's only one I can think of off the top of my head. That's Eddie O, mm-hmm. Ed Orgeron. Failed miserably at Ole Miss. You know, he recruited really well, but just could not get it going in the wins and losses. Right. He had to leave. He went over to Tennessee for a split second when he was there with Lane Kiffin, then went to USC.
Right.
Lane Kiffin was fired. He's named interim. They didn't give him the job. Comes to LSU under Les Miles. Ends up being an associate head coach there. Les Miles gets fired. He takes over as interim. They give him the tag, and now he has a chance to play for a national championship. Mm-hmm. He's one of the few coaches I can think of that actually have done that. But it just seems like it's very few and far between.
Where you've been a head coach,
you fail.
Go back down, come back up, and have success.
Yeah. Because I'm trying to think of another coach that just off the top of my head, and I'm sure somebody's probably going to text and tweet in and all that, but it just doesn't happen often.
Nope.
Not often at all. Because usually, and that's why I feel like your first impression as a head coach is always so important. I mean, do you think Brett Bielema will ever be a head coach of a college football program again?
No, I really don't.
See, I don't either. I don't know if that may be more Brett Bielema's choice, more so than anything. I don't know if he has the same desire to be a head coach, honestly.
I wonder how he's taken to the pro game. Does he like being more involved at the pro level where you don't have the recruiting demands and you just coach? You know, and that's all you do is you coach. Mm-hmm. Does he like that better? Or do you like being in the college game and constantly having to work on getting your roster in shape and recruiting? And I mean, it's a whole different animal from that standpoint.
I mean, you get paid a lot more in the college game for sure.
Well, unless you're a head coach in the NFL.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Right? But in his position, he's never going to make as much as he could as a head coach in college football. I know he doesn't like the locale. He'd probably much rather be in Florida than it would be in snowy Foxborough at this point in time of the year. But
working for Belichick gives you instant credibility. Mm-hmm. Immediate.
And the same thing, the reason why Butch Jones went to Alabama. You know, working for Nick Saban gives you instant credibility. And that's why you've seen guys like Steve Sarkisian go to Alabama to try to rebuild that up. Lane Kiffin.
Sarkisian went to Alabama, and came back.
Yeah. So obviously they understand the power of working for those big time coaches and how it can help you out.
I guess Lane Kiffin, I'm still racking my brain. Lane Kiffin's the only other guy I can think of was a head coach, had to come back, be a coordinator, and is now a head coach again. Now you said had big success. Lane Kiffin hadn't had the big success, but I'm just trying to rack my brain over here. Lane Kiffin's the only other name I can really come up with, a guy that was a head coach, lost his job, took a coordinator's role, got back to being a head coach. You said big success. Yeah. Not like Orgeron, but he at least followed the path you prescribed.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he could be in that element. And let's be honest, too, folks. You can see it on the other side, too, where you have coaches that have big-time success as head coaches. Then they get fired, and they never get another opportunity. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, if you want to, this is something that's always just been so mystifying to me. Mark Mangino, when he was at Kansas, the dude won the Orange Bowl at Kansas. Never got another head coaching job. And I understand that, you know, there was the issues of maybe some player abuse allegations and all that, but you've seen other coaches that's done far worse get other opportunities again.
Yeah.
And so you see stuff like that. Jim Leavitt, when he was at, I think it was South Florida where he was at back in the mid-2000s. He had them as the number two team in the country at one point. And then there was the same thing else that went on there. Allegations of some player issues. Never got another head coaching job again, at least at a big-time level. So it's funny how all of that plays out. And this one comes from the 479. Will Muschamp is a guy that has had multiple opportunities as head coach. I don't want to say he's succeeding, though, at South Carolina just yet.
I was thinking about him, but I couldn't remember the career track. I knew he was at Florida.
Yeah, and then he got fired and then was at South Carolina like the next year.
Right.
So he didn't have that drop-off.
Anything in between. He was a coordinator before. He went back-to-back head coaching jobs, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, because he was at Texas.
He was at Texas as the coach in waiting.
Always love that title. And then
went to Florida. Didn't work out there, went to South Carolina, right?
That's right. And so, and again, I'm not saying he's having high-level success, but it was certainly a career path that's kind of weird, honestly interesting. Oh, I'm sorry. No, he did have something in between. That's right. I was trying to remember, so I had to look it up. He was the Auburn defensive coordinator for that one year in 2015.
All right.
The one year Arkansas beat Auburn since 2012. How about that? So he did have that one thing there in the mix. But it's just amazing how sometimes coaches – we'll just have ever-evolving opportunities. Even if you're a head coach that failed, you'll still always have opportunities.
If you can produce and you can produce wins, you always will.
Mm-hmm.
There's just not many sins they won't cover up if you can win.
Yeah.
There just honestly isn't. I mean, it's all about winning.
Look at Bobby Petrino. I mean, Bobby Petrino always left things badly. And almost every place he was at.
And got chance after chance.
He went back to the school that he left, that people were upset that he left originally, in Louisville. There were people that wanted him back in Arkansas this past coaching search.
Yep.
I mean,
if you have,
it's about winning.
That's right. If you have the high level success, people will go above and beyond to make it happen.
Hey, we are brought to you by World of Wireless, 877-305-DISH. If you have a 4K TV but don't have 4K satellite service, you need to call WOW now, 877-305-DISH. They can get you whole home DVR, high def in every room, and even ask them about 4K service with a new Hopper system that is 4K ready. They can even get you 4K TV in every room. So if you've recently bought new 4K TVs but don't have 4K service, well, it's kind of meaningless, kind of worthless. So call WOW now. Let them get you fixed up with that. Three TVs in the house, just $74.99 a month. So if you're paying the cable company well over $100 a month now, like $120, $130 a month, it's time to make a move right now. 877-305-DISH for WOW World of Wireless. Two-year price guarantee. Lock it in now with DISH and World of Wireless. 877-305-DISH.
You know, just taking this one step further, Tommy, because I think it's interesting. At what point, and I know Arkansas has their head coach in Sam Pittman, so they don't have to worry about it anymore, but at what point do you think that as a program, if you're looking for a new head coach, do you take a risk on a coach that failed at a different school? You know, at what point do you feel like you're comfortable enough that this person has learned, this person's not going to do that anymore, we need to hire this individual? It'll be like, for instance, a Butch Jones. Like, would there ever be a school that says, you know what, it ended horribly at Tennessee, we need to hire this guy? Or Houston Nutt.
The problem with like Butch Jones is, where did he have success at a high Power 5 level? There's your problem with Butch Jones.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he won back-to-back 9 games in seasons at Tennessee.
Yeah.
So he did have some success. He did. But, you know, obviously it failed miserably, and now he's a glorified intern at Alabama. But if there was a program that needed a head coach, or at least a big-time Power 5 program, you know, at what point do you say, maybe he's learned, maybe he's gotten better?
Here's what I think. When Saban hires him to a full-time assistant or a coordinator's role and he has success there, then he'll get hired back.
That's fair.
But he hadn't done enough right now for even Saban to put him on what I'd call the real staff.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair way of looking at it. If Butch Jones is so good, why hadn't Saban put him to work on the real staff? Not the minor league staff he's got there in the background being an analyst. Making tens of thousands. Why ain't he on the? Why ain't he being selected to fill one of these roles that always comes open every year?
Mm-hmm. Obviously, he hadn't proven himself worthy enough of it.
Exactly. There's a reason Saban hadn't moved him up when he's had a chance.
Yeah.
So that's how Butch Jones finds his way back.
Mm-hmm.
Saban has to elevate him to a coordinator role or some kind of high-profile assistance role, and he has success there, and he moves on.
Yeah. And that's why I feel like it's the biggest difference, is originally we started this when we were talking about Chad Morris being at Auburn. I don't know if any program will want to hire Chad Morris as a head coach, at least any big program, again. I mean, again, I feel like he was the worst coaching hire in Arkansas sports history and maybe even the worst in SEC football history. I don't think that can be.
I could see him being a non-Power 5 head coach again, but not a Power 5 head coach.
And that was going to be my next point, is that, you know, if there was ever another SMU-type job or a UTSA-type job going back into Texas, that maybe he would try that out.
And particularly in Texas, you're right.
And then maybe they would go that route.
Stephen F. Austin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jeff Traylor has big success. He could go to somewhere like UT San Antonio. Yeah,
Rice. You know, something like that. Yeah, we could see that happening. But he's going to have to prove himself at Auburn once again as having a solid offensive performance and having his offensive production go through the roof. They're going to have to get that back if he ever wants to be a head coach. And that's one of the most difficult things that you can do as a head coach who had failed, is trying just to build your reputation back into getting to that point. And that's the lucky thing about Arkansas right now, is they have hired Sam Pittman, who's never been a head coach before. And you know what? That may be a positive for him, is because that this is his first opportunity. He's been around college football a very long time. He's been around some phenomenal coaches, Hall of Fame type coaches, and has coached under him. Maybe this can be his start to something great, and where this will be his success story instead of him being a failure too. Mm-hmm. Maybe that'll be the case.
Maybe. We'll, you know, football's all about redemption, though, a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. When you fall down, you pick yourself back up, and that goes in the coaching realm as well. So maybe Sam Pittman can not have to worry about ever falling, because this will be the place he finds success.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.